听力课堂，听 class.com。
Part 3. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. 11. I've had my new stereo for a whole week, but I haven't yet figured out how to record a cassette.
Didn't any instruction menu come with it?
Question. What does the woman imply? Twelve. I'd like you to come with me to the opening of the photography exhibit.
I'm exhausted. You'll have to manage without me tonight.
Question. What will the woman probably do?
13. I wonder if there is a bus that goes by the museum.
The History Museum on Main Street? Take one that says 30 on the front.
Question. What does the man mean?
14. My doctor told me I needed to go for some expensive treatment for my injured knee.
Are you sure? Maybe you need a second opinion.
Question. What does the woman suggest the man do?
15. It's a shame you didn't win your tennis match.
I might have won if I'd listened to my coach.
Question. What does the man imply?
16. Need a hand with those boxes?
That's okay. They're empty.
Question. What does the woman mean? 17. I hear you are thinking about moving back into the dorm next semester.
Who told you that? I'd never give up my apartment.
Question. What does the woman mean? 18. Did you see the diamond ring Bill gave to Linda?
I sure did. It must have cost him an arm and a leg.
Question. What does the woman imply about the ring? 1. Good morning, Professor Harkins. I hope I am not disturbing you.
Not at all, Tom. Come right in. I'm always in my office in the morning.
I thought I'd get an early start on my research paper and would like to discuss my topic with you, if you have a moment.
Of course. I recommend that all my students discuss their topics with me before they begin their research. What do you want to work on?
I was especially interested in your lecture on dinosaurs and the apparent mystery surrounding their extinction. I'd like to explore that question, but I'm not too sure how to go about it.
Well, according to the most widely held theory, the dinosaurs died out because of the sudden cooling of the Earth's temperature. Your textbook summarizes the conclusion of several paleontologists on this point.
Didn't you also mention a second theory in your lecture, that dinosaurs may simply have been replaced by mammals gradually and might not die out as a direct response to the cool weather?
Yes. Van Valen and Sloan are proponents of this theory, and I've put some of their articles on reserve in the library.
Van Valen and Sloan? I'd better write that down.
Let me know how your work progresses, Tom. If you should run into any problems, be sure to stop by again.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
19. Who are the speakers?
What is the main focus of the man's research?
21. Who most likely are Van Valen and Sloan?
2.
Who? This rowing is hard work. Let's head the boat towards the old lighthouse now.
Good idea. We can rest there a while and eat our lunch. Then we can climb to the top platform where the light is before we visit the museum at the base of the lighthouse tower.
Whenever I came out here, I thought about the family who used to live on the little island and take care of the light every night. What a lonely life that must have been.
Yeah. To help ships find their way along shoreline at night, they had to constantly make sure that the windows up around the light were clean and free of ice and snow.
Dirty soot must have been a problem. Didn't they burn candles up there?
This one used to have a kerosene lamp, but they changed over to electricity around 1920, I think.
In Newport, Rhode Island, people talked about a woman who was a lighthouse keeper for over 50 years. Ida Louise was her name. She saved a lot of people from dying in shipwrecks.
Was her lighthouse out on an island like this one?
On one even smaller and further from land. In stormy weather, it was pretty dangerous for small boats.
I understand the United States Coast Guard takes care of most of the modern lighthouses.
Yeah, but the light is automatic nowadays. The lighthouse is still a friendly sight at night, though.
Here we are. This lighthouse is the friendliest sight I've seen today. I'm exhausted.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
22. What are the people doing?
23. What was a major problem for every lighthouse keeper?
24. Why was Ida Louise famous?
25. How does the man feel at the end of the conversation?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Good afternoon. I'm Torres Don, housing director here at the university. I'm visiting all the dormitories this week to inform students about checkout procedures. I know you have a lot on your minds with finals coming up, but there are a few things you need to be aware of as you prepare to leave for vacation. This dormitory will be closed during the summer months and will reopen on September 1st. You must vacate your room by June 3rd. Even if you are registered for classes during the summer, you must leave the dorm by June 3rd. If this poses a problem for you, you should contact my office as soon as possible. You should remember to turn in your room key before you leave. Failure to turn in your key can result in a $25 fine. You must also make sure that all of your personal property has been cleared out of your room. I'll be passing out a form for you to fill out concerning the condition of your room. You should report on the form any damage to your room which has occurred over the last year, such as holes in the room's walls, door, or windows. That way, our summer maintenance crew will know where to make repairs before the next school year starts. If you have any questions during the next few days, please ask your resident advisors or call my office. Now please take one of the forms as they are passed around.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
26. What does the speaker mainly discuss?
27. When does this talk take place?
28. What must students indicate on the forms?
2. Today, it's my turn to give the weekly oral report, and the topic that Professor May has assigned me is the life of the poet Emily Dickinson. Compared to Walt Whitman, whom we discussed last week, I found Emily Dickinson strikingly different. She seems, in fact, to be the complete opposite of Whitman in her life and in her work. I would like to share briefly with the class some of the essential facts of her biography. Emily Dickinson was born in 1830 in Amherst, Massachusetts, barely a decade after Whitman. In her early 20s, for reasons which still remain a mystery, she began to withdraw from ordinary contact with the world. For the remaining 30 years of her life, she was seldom seen outside her home. In this respect, she was quite unlike Whitman, who loved the great outdoors. Emily Dickinson spent her solitary days corresponding with her friends and writing hundreds of remarkable poems. Notably, I Heard a Fly Buzz, and the poem we read for today, I'm Nobody. Although she showed some of her poems to her family and sent some in letters to her friends, only 4 were published in her lifetime. Most of them, almost 1,200 poems, were discovered in her room after she died in 1886 at the age of 56. These poems established her as a major poet, and several modern critics consider her the greatest woman poet in the English language. That's about all I have. Are there any questions? If not, we should probably begin talking about Dickinson's I'm Nobody, the poem Professor May assigned for this week's class discussion.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard.
29. Who is the speaker?
30. What had been the discussion topic of the previous class?
31. Approximately how old was Emily Dickinson when she died?
32. What will the class do now? 3. To play their music well, jazz musicians don't really need to know a lot about the rules of harmony and rhythm. Of course, they might have knowledge of both harmony and rhythm, but that kind of knowledge isn't what makes them jazz musicians. What does make them good is having an intuitive feeling of how the music works. For artists in the medium of jazz, the music comes naturally. It flows almost spontaneously through them. Their music performance is not planned in advance. As they play, they don't monitor themselves in terms of a formal theory of performance. As a result, jazz is a natural expression of the moods and feelings of the artists, a moment-by-moment expression of the self. Now you are in for a treat. I brought some recordings of my favorite jazz artists. We'll spend some time listening to some examples of really good jazz.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
33. What is the main purpose of the talk?
34. What does the speaker say is a distinctive characteristic of jazz musicians?
35. What will the class do next? 3. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks, numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
This morning, I'd like to tell you about the structure of the university and about some of the requirements of the degree that you're about to enter. The Bachelor of Social Science is in one faculty within the university. That is the faculty where I work, known as Arts and Social Sciences. Here on this campus, we also have the faculties of Architecture, Law, and Science and Technology, among others. It's vital to know something about the structure of the faculty because, as you go through your course, you may need to call on members of the staff to help you. At the top of the faculty, we have a dean, and below the dean, we have 3 divisions. Each division has a divisional head, and your degree is located in the Division of Social Science. Within each of the divisions, there are departments, and each of these offers the different degrees. For instance, 2 of the departments which offer the major subjects for your award are sociology and psychology. Each has a departmental head, but for practical purposes, the people you are going to see the most are myself as coordinator of the social sciences degree and the actual lecturers who are teaching the subjects that you are taking. For instance, in the first semester, you'll be doing four subjects: psychology, sociology, history, and economics. If you have any problems or difficulties, not that I'm anticipating you will, but you never know, then you should go and see your lecturers. For instance, you may find that you can't meet a deadline for an essay, or perhaps you're having problems with attendance. These seem to be the two most common problems that students face. This morning, I'd like to tell you about the structure of the university and about some of the requirements of the degree that you're about to enter. The Bachelor of Social Science is in one faculty within the university. That is the faculty where I work, known as Arts and Social Sciences. Here on this campus, we also have the faculties of Architecture, Law, and Science and Technology, among others. It's vital to know something about the structure of the faculty because, as you go through your course, you may need to call on members of the staff to help you. At the top of the faculty, we have a dean, and below the dean, we have three divisions. Each division has a divisional head, and your degree is located in the Division of Social Science. Within each of the divisions, there are departments, and each of these offers the different degrees. For instance, two of the departments which offer the major subjects for your award are sociology and psychology. Each has a departmental head, but for practical purposes, the people you are going to see the most are myself as coordinator of the social sciences degree and the actual lecturers who are teaching the subjects that you are taking. For instance, in the first semester, you'll be doing four subjects: psychology, sociology, history, and economics. If you have any problems or difficulties, not that I'm anticipating you will, but you never know, then you should go and see your lecturers. For instance, you may find that you can't meet a deadline for an essay, or perhaps you're having problems with attendance. These seem to be the two most common problems that students face. This morning, I'd like to tell you about the structure of the university and about some of the requirements of the degree that you're about to enter. The Bachelor of Social Science is in one faculty within the university. That is the faculty where I work, known as Arts and Social Sciences. Here on this campus, we also have the faculties of Architecture, Law, and Science and Technology, among others. It's vital to know something about the structure of the faculty because, as you go through your course, you may need to call on members of the staff to help you. At the top of the faculty, we have a dean, and below the dean, we have three divisions. Each division has a divisional head, and your degree is located in the Division of Social Science. Within each of the divisions, there are departments, and each of these offers the different degrees. For instance, two of the departments which offer the major subjects for your award are sociology and psychology. Each has a departmental head, but for practical purposes, the people you are going to see the most are myself as coordinator of the social sciences degree and the actual lecturers who are teaching the subjects that you are taking. For instance, in the first semester, you'll be doing four subjects: psychology, sociology, history, and economics. If you have any problems or difficulties, not that I'm anticipating you will, but you never know, then you should go and see your lecturers. For instance, you may find that you can't meet a deadline for an essay, or perhaps you're having problems with attendance. These seem to be the two most common problems that students face.